for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, April the 7th, 2007. Ish Payne is the speaker of this service teaching on the kingdom and sin. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Now this is important because the story I told in the book was of a little girl. This was a true story. It was in the Charlotte newspaper. And I didn't have anything to do with it or know anything about it. But I saw tons and tons of stories like this in my life as a policeman and just as a minister and as a chaplain and working in prisons and so forth. But this little gal comes home. She'd been out honky-tonking and she'd been hitting the high spots and she'd left her boyfriend at home with her three children. And he got loaded at home, fell asleep in the easy chair with a cigarette or cigar, caught the house on fire. Two out of three children died. He died and she comes home at 2 o'clock in the morning drunk and finds this mess. The caption in the paper is this. Here's her picture, and she was pitiful. I mean, she's your heart breaks. The caption is this. Why, God, did you do this to me? Now, let me ask you a question. Did God do that?
No.
Thank you. She lives, and we live in a what? Sin-cursed world. She's a victim of her own choices, her own free will. Her boyfriend was the same thing, and all those people suffered because of it. Now, let me show you some scriptural proof. It really blessed me in the sense that I understood it better. And it's in Proverbs 1, verse 28. Are you all okay? It says, then, verse 28, I'm reading from the New King James. Remember what I said about which Bible you're going to read? You know, I'm very opinionated. Read the one you will read. And then get three or four more translations and keep them all there. Because there are no perfect ones. There's some better than others. But that's not our discussion. Anyway, verse 28. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. Is that powerful?
Yes.
That's heartbreaking if you read it and you understand it. But I want to tell you, that has been my experience in my life. And it's only by the grace of God that I'm still alive. And it's probably, thank you, Glenn, it's true of all of us. Because we've all made rotten choices, have we not? Every one of us have made really bad choices. But when we make those bad choices, of course, the problem is most of the time we don't have a clue who God is. We may have had some idea of Him. But what He's trying to explain here very clearly is that we reap what we sow. Now, He then confirms that in other places, but one we look at quickly is Psalm 81. Yep. Are y'all okay? Psalm 81, verse 11 and verse 12. It's just back to your left a little bit. Said, but my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. So you see, because God gave us the ability to choose, He gave us our own free will. Now, who is responsible when we make the wrong choice? We are. Thank you. Class dismissed, so
Amen.
To speak. Amen?
Amen.
So what happens when we realize that, then when we make the wrong choices, now we have another choice to make. Are we going to deal with it? Or are we going to come out from under the house and deal with it spiritually? Or are we going to wait 24 hours or 24 days or 24 months or 24 years? I can't tell you, and I wish I had time to teach on issues in marriage, but I can't tell you the number of people that I have talked to when I ask them, when did your issue start? And they said, within a month of our marriage. Well, how long have you been married? 40 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tragic. But somebody You see, let me just share this, and I don't want to digress. Marriages are in trouble because marriages, most marriages, even in the church, are based on vain imagination and not reality. Vain imagination and not reality. And then once the reality sets in, which sometimes takes 20 minutes, then things go downhill, or they can. Now, that's not our subject. But we have to make choices, beloved, in bringing in those choices. And it all comes back again to His relationship with us. Is He going to be King? Now, I want to do something before we do these healing prayers. I want to give you an opportunity, if you'll allow me to repent. Amen? Because some of you, as I'm sharing that story, you've seen things different. And I'm not saying you have to go take care of it, you know, do something about it. That's between you and the Lord, obviously. But you can start by doing something about it, by number one, just agreeing with God concerning it, and then dealing with those issues. Now, one thing I do want to clarify, because I know I got some people got confused, or a couple did anyway, the other night when I was talking about, I told the story about that lady who had bitterness towards her sisters. And somebody mentioned to me, said, well, does that mean I need to go get right with my sister? Well, only if you're the one that caused the offense. You see, you have another responsibility in making your own choices. And this is one that doesn't get taught very well or very often. And that is that you personally have a responsibility to guard your heart. And what that means is that if your brother or sister, even in the Lord, offends you repeatedly and is content to keep offending you and wounds you, then you better guard your heart and create a boundary. Are you with me? That some people say, well, that's not love, that's not forgiveness. Yes, it is love. Because you better love yourself to guard your heart. Because it says to guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. And when your heart is not guarded, you're in trouble. Are you with me? Okay, now, so what I'd like to do, I just want to give you an opportunity to vocalize your repentance. And so I'd like to lead you in a simple prayer. Amen? Are you all with me? Father, in the name of Jesus, I purpose and choose to renounce and repent all bitterness, anger, hostility, hatred, jealousy, envy, wrong choices, choices of abortion, choices of adultery, choices of sexual sins, choices of abuse, any choices which were against you or against my fellow man. I ask to be forgiven in the name of Jesus. And I choose to forgive myself and release myself from these sins. And I take authority over every evil spirit that has gained an entrance into my life because of these sins. And I command them to loose me and let me go. I belong to Jesus. I am His. I am blood bought. And no demon in hell can have me. Jesus is my King. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father, keep praying. Father, speak to me any truth concerning this matter. Now, I want to just give you a minute. Because, you know, we're His sheep. The Word makes it clear that His sheep hear His voice. And I believe the Lord wants to speak to you, and that speaking to you will edify the rest of us. Okay, who wants to be first? When you prayed that prayer, did you hear that still small voice? I think that's all.
My sister has made the decision that I can't ride in the car with my family anymore when she goes to see her children, who are my nieces, and it caused some bitterness in me. But I have realize that I have sinned by even thinking that I ought to confront her about it. Now, I've been wondering about the boundaries.
Amen. Okay, did y'all hear that? Well, first thing you need to do, of course, and you've done that, you release her Amen?
Yes.
What she's doing is not right, but I don't know all the situation, obviously. But I would go one more time and say, I want to go and try to clear the air. But if you can't clear the air, don't let yourself be continually wounded. Find somebody from the church here that'll take you. And draw a boundary. If she's going to wound you and make fun of you and belittle you, you don't need that. Amen?
Here, brother.
Guard your heart. Amen.
I'm a recovering addict and alcoholic, and I'm on my fourth step. And I'm getting ready to do my fifth step, and he just told me to quit procrastinating on that.
Amen.
And use my spiritual advisor and, you know, get that done.
Amen. 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 Well, let me tell you, just from a brother to a brother, Jesus is the answer for every addiction.
Amen.
Amen. Because all addictions come out of not liking ourselves. There was a time when this man preaching to you used to think, well, let me tell you this story. I asked a man one time a situation, and he said to me, he said, oh, you grew up in a dysfunctional family. And we all did.
Yeah.
I said, no, I didn't. I grew up in a very normal family. And so I got home, and my wife, Tonda, says to me, why'd you lie to him? And I said, well, I didn't lie to him. I did grow up in a normal family. She said, really? She said, your sister was a drug addict. You had at least one grandfather that was an alcoholic. You had a father that was an alcoholic. And you used to think that Gatorade and vodka was the breakfast drink of champions. She said, that's not dysfunctional. And I said, well, it wasn't to me. I thought it was normal. You see? Let me tell you, the answer to every addiction is Jesus.
Amen.
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 It's the only answer. Okay, did you have your hand up, brother? Who is there?
I'd like to tell my friend, the one-step problem is fantastic, but the one-step problem is Jesus.
Amen. 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 Well, but you see, here's the exciting thing. He's doing something.
Yes.
You see, he's taking responsibility for his life.
Amen.
And he's working through. So, praise God, brother. The Lord will take care of you.
Years ago, I was in a codependent relationship and with my ex-boyfriend, and things got really bad, and I think I was verbally abusive towards him, and even twice I slapped him in the face. Shortly afterwards, of course, we broke up, and it took actually a year and a half to really break up. It was a difficult one. And now things have kind of like normalized. We're friends, you know. But when you spoke, what came up to me is that I, even though I think I apologized before to him, I will ask him specifically when I return to New York to release me from that sin.
Amen. Good. Did y'all hear that?
Yeah.
That's good. That's very mature. And you forgiven yourself?
Yeah.
Look at me. In the name of Jesus, I release you from that sin. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And the condemnation that walks with it.
I have, I had four sons, but one passed away last October. But my second son and his wife, they have two daughters, and the two daughters have three children between them. And they used to come to my house for meals, but now they don't even speak to me. They don't even come visit me. They don't call me or anything. And I've asked them, I've told them that I wanted to talk to them and ask them to forgive me. But they haven't even replied to my phone call. So what do I do?
Okay, that's a good question. And these are tough questions, and there's not always easy answers. But the answers are pretty basic. There's two principles that I see. Repent and forgive. Now, in this point, you know your heart and you know the situations. But you have to move in a continual 7 times 70 repentance.
Mm-hmm.
If you have gone and you have asked, there's nothing you can do but this, and that's release them to the Lord's hands.
That's what I've done.
Okay, if you've done that, then just let them go. Because to hold on to them and to keep after them won't work. Would you agree, Jerry? You see, now let me share something with you. This is very important. And try to get a hold of this. You might want to write this down if you're writing, taking notes, because this will help you. I want to share with you three principles that are important. They're really pretty life changing. And those of you who did anybody else hear something from the Lord? Because I don't want to miss you. So don't let me forget. I got those three principles.
I was standing in the... Actually, I was in the living room with my mother. My mother was on the phone with my sister. But I was kind of standing where the door was kind of cracked and she couldn't see all of me, and she had thought that I had gone out to get the mail. And she said to my sister, she said, "I think Melissa's gone out to get the mail." She said that Marcia, which is my other sister, has invited me to go to my niece's graduation from the Naval Academy. But we don't want Melissa to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing in the room.
Yeah, well, that's painful. That's hurtful.
Yes.
That's very hurtful. Now, there's a secret here. Now, these are easy to teach, but not but not necessarily easy to live.
That's right.
But here's what happens. Until you take those words into you, they have no effect. But of course, you knew what was behind them. And so you took them. And so what you got to do is get rid of them. Amen. Good. Right. And it's her issue. Amen. Here's the thing. Now, here's the three principles which still go into this. These are the three principles. Number one, you are not responsible for someone else's sin, sickness, or torment. That includes your children, your husband, your wife.
That's right.
Did you hear that? You are not responsible for someone else's sin. Now, we've kind of grown up in this denominational Christian environment where we're responsible for everything. That's why a lot of us are sick. That's why we're down on our back. That's why we're down with all sorts of stuff. Now, number two, you are not responsible to get that person saved, healed, or delivered. You're not the Savior. They have a Savior. Yeah, and when you try to become their Savior, you're in idolatry and you're not helping them. You're hurting them. In fact, I haven't gotten to listen to it myself, but I read the excerpts of your, when was that, last camp?
Last camp
on the Enabler, and I would highly recommend you get that. They're going fast, get them quick. Because many of us get trapped in that. It's called false burden bearing. And it will make you sick. All right, now.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Another insight. If you're an Enabler, it's because you've got a guilty conscience yourself. It's because the people you're enabling, you've probably done some of the same things, so you have a hard time letting it go because you feel guilty for your own sin. And so you need to deal with your sin, whatever you see them doing that you've done, you need to deal with your sin, and then the purer your heart is, the more able you are to let go and let God be their Savior.
Amen. Good word. Now, number three would be the only thing you're responsible for, to hear the word of the Lord and do it. And when I say that, don't let tradition or your neighbor tell you what to do. You listen for God's voice. And God doesn't get in a hurry. You can take your time. You know, we hear all these stories, oh, if I'd have gone yesterday, he wouldn't have died. Well, you're not responsible. Did you hear that, beloved?
Yeah.
You are not. Every man and every woman is on their own journey. And they got to walk their own walk. And you can't walk it for them. When they stand before Him, they can't say, "Oh my gosh, if Jerry had only told me that. Or if my wife had been better or worse and hadn't burnt the apple pie." Are you with me? This is important stuff. It'll save you. Anybody else hear anything? I don't want to cut you off. Yes, ma'am.
The Lord told me that I need to talk to my sister. She needs me. We haven't spoken in several years, but every time I called, she never returned my call. I believe her husband is interfering.
Amen. Well, try again.
I am.
Yeah, there you go. Try again. There's nothing wrong with trying. And if they won't talk, well, don't go under condemnation. Amen. That's a hard one to learn, but it's very important. Okay. Any questions up to this point that I can? Don't ask me about God's belly button or something. Yes, sir.
Can you share one thing?
Sure. Yep. Hold on.
Believe me, I don't have it.
You know, out of lay renewal several years ago, there was one truth that I really came to grips with. And as I hear people mention getting a hold of somebody, a truth that I feel I learned, and I'm looking for your confirmation, but when we feel drawn to go to somebody, back to, was my spirit right? If I come to you and say, "Ish, I've been bitter at you. I want you to forgive me." And you say, "Well, what are you bitter at me about?" "I kicked my dog."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, but I did, you know, you did something else." We immediately have entered the enemy's territory again. Because now it's not about getting my heart right. We're back to the issue.
Right. Yeah, and this is a whole teaching. In fact, if y'all come to the school in May, we'll deal with it in some. But I will share something. Whoops. Sure, I'm glad it had a nice soft top on it. Excuse me. In the back of my book here, if I can find it. Here's the problem with forgiving. I'm going to do this real fast because people say this. They'll say, I won't forgive until I can forget. You ever heard that? Well, if you're waiting to forget it, you'll never forgive because the memory is going to be there forever. But the pain in the memory does not have to be there. Another fallacy is, well, time will heal it. No, it won't. Not if it's just suppressed. And here's one that I think is really damaging. I'm waiting for them to come and admit to me they were wrong and tell me they're sorry. Then I'll forgive them. I talk to a lot of people that do that. Well, if my ex-husband, ex-wife, my children will come and tell me they were wrong, then I can forgive them. It won't happen. I can't tell you how many powerful stories of restoration I have seen between children and parents when the parents let the children go. You've got to let them go. And that's the very, very hard thing to do, but you've got to do it because they have a Savior that loves them more than you do. And when you can't let them go, you're interfering with what He's trying to do. It's very difficult. Yeah, you can't touch them. Okay, are you with me? So oftentimes, now if you can't forgive, behind every reason not to forgive is really just a lack of desire to forgive. So we've got to forgive. Okay, now let's move on. I don't know that I answered that completely, but that would take me a while. Are y'all okay? Somebody wave at me. Amen. How many of you believe that God's calling you into the healing ministry or deliverance ministry? Okay, the ones that didn't raise your hand, you've been called too. You just don't know it. Because we've all been called to be His disciples. And as His disciples, we are called to heal the sick and deliver the demons. We hadn't gotten, some of us, and I haven't gotten to the raising the dead part yet, but, I'm working on that. Amen. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world that you'll never hear about unless you're moving in certain circles. How many of you ever heard of Heidi Baker? Heidi Baker, I'm just going to tell this story. I don't know why I thought about this. This is very powerful, though. She and her husband were missionaries in Mozambique, I think. Were over there for years. Never saw much happen. Came back disgusted, rejected, frustrated. We're going to quit. They ended up in the Toronto Vineyard years ago, and I think it was Randy Clark or somebody prophesied over them and went back to Mozambique, having been failures. And during the next 7 years, established 7,000 churches. Gets better. During that same time frame, they've been confirmed, raised from the dead, over 50 people. Why is it not happening here? Too fat and comfortable. I'm telling you, beloved, it's supposed to happen here, and it's going to happen here. But it's only going to happen when we make that decision to get serious with Him, who is the resurrection and who is the life, and take His word forward. You won't ever see anybody get healed until you pray for them. And you may have to pray for 200 people before you see the first one get healed. And if you quit at 199, you'll go away discouraged. That's why when I pray for people, and what we're getting ready to do is I'm going to speak healing prayers over you. I know that God will heal people in this room.
Amen. Yes.
If your heart, I know it. You know why I know it? Because I see Him do it time and time and time again. Because it's His nature and it's His heart and it's His desire to do it. It's not because of me, it's because of who? Him. Following these healing prayers, this was in a church in Texas. I got this email. Best I can tell, I've been healed of sciatica. Pastor's wife was healed of scoliosis. That young lady you ministered to was healed of asthma, migraines, and endometriosis. And the list goes on and on. I can't explain it, beloved, but I'm telling you, God is a God that wants to move and move in power and move in grace and move in love, and He wants to set you free. And that's what He's calling us to do. Are you with me? This is important, saints. My wife, Fred, wrote a poem. I want to read this poem to you. I didn't even know she had written it for 2 weeks. Said, it all happened on a Saturday night as I sat almost still in a fright. Because earlier in the day, for a young boy had I prayed that his eyes might have perfect sight and peace in the stillness of night. And as I walked away, almost in dismay, thinking someone with more anointing should have prayed for the young boy that day. What a weight I bore, so much that my heart was sore. But later, as Pastor Mahesh spoke, something in my spirit awoke. He said in 2 Kings 4:2, as Elisha said to the woman, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" She said, "I have nothing in the house but a jar of oil." As we know from the rest of the story, she borrowed empty vessels, and not just a few. Did she know her life was going to change anew as she poured out? Not knowing what would come about, it dawned on me, the Holy Spirit let me see that I too thought I had nothing except a jar of oil. A revelation came, I pray I'll never be the same. I'll be a vessel who'll pour out without a doubt. That's my wife. It was a 15-year-old joined a little club called the Hell's Angels. Oh, yeah. Just a Sunday school dropout group of characters. No, it's as rough as you get. But God, in His mercy, drew her and wooed her, and she came back into the Lord she had met as a very youngster. And God has redeemed her, and she is a powerful, powerful minister and woman of God and the mother of two of my children. And she's the one I go to when I need ministry. Because she's there for me. Because she knows who the enemy is. You understand that? I'm telling you, beloved, we are living in an age of power and grace. And we give Him the glory. He gets all the glory. We take none. Okay. You get my throat going here. This won't take but a few minutes, but I just want you to be alert. Father, we just pray first, Lord, that You have Your way. Lord, we ask for healing and deliverance to come upon these people. Lord, we ask for all disease and pain and torment and grief to flee in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Psalm 68:1 says, "Let God arise." Repeat it with me. Let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered. Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority and I pray for healing and restoration. I ask for creative miracles of the mind and body. Lord, we repent for living in the red zone. We repent for our bitterness, envy, anger, fear, and the occult. And I speak to the lymphatic and immune system, and this is the system that is composed of the lymphatic vessels and fluid, the organs and structures that contain large amount of white blood cells and the lymphocytes. Included here are the thymus gland, the spleen, the lymph nodes, and the tonsils. And I take authority over all fear, and I ask for the healing of the broken heart. Put your hand over your heart and say, "Father, heal my broken heart in Jesus' name." And I pray for all allergies, and I pray for all MCS and ES, and Lord, all issues there. What this is an overreaction of the immune system. That's the system that produces, that we ask and pray in Jesus' name that the system produce proper antibodies, the IgE cells, the mast cells, and we pray for the symptoms in the eyes, the ears, the nose, the throat, the skin, the lungs, the bronchial tubes, and the mouth be healed in Jesus' name. And we pray that your body in this area come into proper homeostasis. And we speak to the bone marrow function in Jesus' name. And we speak to the T cells, the B cells, the red blood cells, the white blood cells, the macrophages, the natural killer cells, the dendrite cells, the granulocytes, the cytokines, and the interleukins. And we take authority over every negative emotion, and we break the strongholds of bitterness, dormant anger against God, self, and others. And we speak to these systems, and we say, rise up and function as God intended. And we speak to the brain and to the nervous system. We pray for the thalamus, the limbic system, the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, the pineal gland, the endocrine system, the spinal cord, the nervous system, the neurons, the axon, the dendrites, the neurotransmitters. And we speak to the amygdala, and that's the emotional core of the brain that gets tagged with emotional responses. And we say, be healed in Jesus' name. And we speak to the hippocampus. That's the memory center in your brain. That's where things are centered. That's where the memories hang on to. We speak to the hippocampus, and we say, be healed in Jesus' name. And we speak to the neurotransmitters that they come into homeostasis. We speak to headaches, irritability, aggression, fatigue, lethargy, inability to concentrate, memory loss, dementia, brain fog, any brain trauma through injury or abuse. In Jesus' name, we speak healing in Jesus' name. We ask for the Father to reach into His big bank, His warehouse of parts, and bring forth all those brain cells that we need, the brain cells that were destroyed through alcohol abuse, drug abuse, any kind of abuse, that the brain cells be restored in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, we speak to a deaf and dumb spirit that would hinder the brain's ability to function. And we speak to all spirits of witchcraft and idolatrous generational curses. We speak to a spirit of epilepsy and the spirit of rebellion, generational and personal, on your father's side and on your mother's side, all the way back to Adam and Eve, that it be broken. And we ask for proper electrical activity in the brain. Now put your fingers on your brain right up here. Just say this with me. Say, delete wrong neuropathways, improper neuropathways, and install the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And we speak to the cardiovascular system. This is the system composed of the heart, the blood vessels, the veins, the heart valves and the blood. We take authority over all fear, over all worry and anxiety. The word is clear, for men's hearts will fail them for fear. We speak to the hardened heart. We speak to the stubborn spirit. We speak to the hard-heartedness of our soul and our brain. We speak to that part of us that would only want to intellectualize it and not let the Spirit of God work through, in Jesus' name. We pray for healing of all the blood pressure problems. We ask for repair of the artery walls, the heart, the kidneys and internal organs. We pray for the healing of the disruption of the heart rhythm and heart palpitations, valves to operate properly, all plaque to be dissolved, and pumping force to be normal, that blood carries oxygen and nutrients to the cells and carries carbon dioxide and waste away from the cells. Put your hand over your heart. Say, heart, be as Jesus intended. Give me a new heart. Give me new heart valves. Open up my arteries. Let my blood flow as you intended, in Jesus' name. And we speak to the respiratory system. This is composed of the lungs and the airways leading into and out of the lungs. And I take authority over every spirit of abandonment, rejection, and every spirit of death, in Jesus' name. Your power is broken in your lives and in the generations of your family, on your father's side, your mother's side, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And we take authority over all asthma, hay fever, and respiratory diseases. And we say, be healed in Jesus' name. And we ask that all the damage done through smoking or secondhand smoking or pot smoking or any kind of place where we were put into, where we had no control of the stuff we were breathing, whether it was asbestos or some other chemical, if it was on a tractor in a field or wherever, God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to heal those lungs and that respiratory system in Jesus' name. And we speak to the digestive system. This is all the organs of the gastrointestinal tract that goes from the mouth all the way through the rear end. We speak to the esophagus, the stomach, the small intestine, and the large intestine. And also those organs that secrete digestive substance into the gastrointestinal tract, such as the liver, the saliva glands, the gallbladder, and the pancreas. We speak healing for all ulcers, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic diarrhea, Crohn's disease, and colitis, in Jesus' name. And again, we ask the Father to reach into His big parts store, hallelujah, and bring out any part that you need and put it in, in Jesus' name. I saw God give a lady a new heart in Massachusetts during this kind of prayers. She couldn't even raise her arms because of congestive heart failure. And when we got done, she could raise her arms and she was jumping all around. Hallelujah. I don't know if she ever had it confirmed, but who cares? She was rejoicing. Amen. We speak to the skeletal system and connective tissues. This is composed of the bones, the joints, and related cartilages. Bones are where the blood cells are formed. We ask for restoration and strengthening of the bones, the proper calcification of the bones, and that the blood cells are made in proper order and amount. And we take authority over all false burden bearing, and we break its power. And when you have taken the yoke on your own back, it belongs to Jesus. We release you from that yoke in Jesus' name. We release you to take that yoke off in Jesus' name and put it on Him who is able. Your frame is frail. The biggest one in here is still frail. We release you to take the load off and give it to Him who died for you and rose on this very day in Jesus' name. It says in Psalm 34:20 that He guards all your bones. So we break the stronghold of pride. We break the stronghold of your own wisdom. And we ask that you move in mercy and truth, that it will be health to your flesh and strength and marrow to your bones. We break strongholds of jealousy, both generational and personal, comparison and competition, all self-bitterness and fear, and a broken heart in Jesus' name. And we speak to rheumatoid arthritis, which is an autoimmune disease, and all forms of arthritis. And we ask for restoration for the healing of joints, joint capsules, synovial cavity and synovial fluids, ligaments, muscles, bones, for proper function of the systemic system and regulation of the secretion of pro-inflammatory cytokines. We speak to osteoporosis, that the calcium and phosphates would come to normal levels, that restoration of the nerves and blood vessels that carry the oxygen and nutrients would be as God intended them. And we speak peace unto you. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give unto you." We speak peace because we know that living in the red zone, that when you are living in the red zone, it is a medical fact that calcium is drawn from your bones. So we speak peace in Jesus' name, that you come out of the red zone, enter into His homeostasis, release all bitterness, all unforgiveness, all stress in the name of Jesus. And we take authority over the proper production of the red cells, the white cells, and the platelets. And we break the power of every unhealthy word. Pleasant words bring health to the bones. So we take authority over every unhealthy word, every word of cursing in your family line, in your own personal life, whether it was as a child or this morning. And we break the power of that and release you to His words, which He said, "You are my beloved." Hallelujah. He loves you and He died for you and He wants you to understand that. We speak to all damage done to you in wrecks, accidents, and we ask for creative miracles to be done where there's damaged bones. In the back or in the neck, in the leg, in the arm, in any place in your body. Father, even right now, we ask for a creative miracle for that part of the body that needs to be healed. And we speak to a spirit of infirmity that would cause scoliosis in your spine. And we call it a spirit of infirmity and we say, "You're an intruder. You're not welcome. My spine shall be straight for the glory of God." And we speak to the endocrine system. This is composed of the hormone-producing cells and glands such as the pituitary gland, the adrenal glands, the thyroid, and the pancreas. And we speak to all self-opposing spirits such as self-bitterness, self-rejection, fear, and the broken heart. We speak to Hashimoto's disease, Graves' disease, Sjögren syndrome, lupus, scleroderma, chronic active hepatitis, and Crohn's disease. We speak to diabetes, and we say that in the diabetic conditions that the Isles of Langerhans function properly in the pancreas as God intended. And we ask that all damage done to the eyes, the kidneys, or the heart because of diabetes be made new. And Lord, we ask that you restore new cells where there's been any damage. And we speak to the urinary system. This is composed of the kidneys, the urethra, and the bladder. We speak to any disease in the urinary tract, and we say, "Be healed in Jesus' name. Let your urinary tract come into peace in Jesus' name." The biggest nerve in your body is your spinal cord. The second biggest nerve is your vagus nerve. Not many people talk about that, but it's very easy to find in a medical textbook. But it's the one that runs into your stomach. And it's the only thing bigger is it's a massive, big nerve. That's why you have so many problems in your gut. Amen. Because what happens up here goes right down here. Amen. So we speak to the reproductive system. This is composed of the testicles and the ovaries. We speak to all self-hatred, generational curses of perversion, idolatry and fear. We break the power of all those in your generations, on your father's side and in your mother's side, all the way back to Adam and Eve. And we take authority and we break the curse of abortion in your generations and in your own life. We speak healing to every part of your body, that it would function as God intended, and that new life would come forth from the very throne of God. Amen. God is the one who is responsible for life. We ask you, Father, where we are barren, bring forth life. Pray that with me. Father, where we are barren, bring forth life. In Jesus' name. Amen. And we speak to that one that's called cancer. We speak to the T cells, the immune cells called macrophages and interleukin-2, to the B cells that mature in the bone marrow, to the natural killer cells, and these are the aggressive white cells that kill cancer cells on contact. And we ask that these natural killer cells be built up because they carry they carry chemicals that literally shoot holes into cancer cells. Amen? So it's important that we stay in the red zone because in the red zone, these things will be made normal. It's important we stay out of the red zone. Thank you. Praise God. That's why we have body ministry. That we stay out of the red zone and we stay into the green zone so these things can be produced and our body can function only in the green zone or homeostasis in Jesus' name. And we speak to fibromyalgia. And we break the power of the fear of man, the heartbreak in relationships, rejection, and abandonment. We ask for release and healing for the chronic pain, the tenderness and muscle tenderness, the sleep problems, the stiffness and headaches, the bowel and stomach problems, memory and concentration and brain fog, depression and anxiety. It's in one disease. And we ask for healing of the nerve cells and the spinal cord and that the brain chemicals, the pituitary gland, the hypothalamus, that proper hormone levels return. I speak to fibromyalgia and I say, you are an intruder. You are a spirit of infirmity. You have taken advantage of God's people. You are commanded to leave, loose them in Jesus' name. Amen. We take authority over depression and any other mental torments. We ask you to be released and healed from abuse, grief, generational curses, curses of witchcraft. We ask for restoration of proper levels of serotonin and proper communication of the nerves between the brain and the body. And we ask for healing for the normal function of the hippocampus. And I command you in Jesus' name by the authority of Him who is risen from the dead to take on the garment of praise. Hallelujah! Take on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That is God's prescription. He's given you the prescription. He's given you a whole bottle full of big pills. It's called praise Him. Praise Him. And when you get done praising some more. Amen? And if you're not comfortable praising Him, go get in your car, run up here in the woods and praise Him. I went through the woods today just praising the Lord, singing in tongues, praying in tongues. I didn't care who heard me. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. And we take authority over all weight loss or gain. Because we got both fluctuations here. And I ask for restoration and release of healing for the exact body weight that you were designed for before the foundation of the world. Because God designed you in a certain way. And so I ask you to repent for lack of self-control, eating for comfort. And I release you to eat only when you're hungry and stop when you're full. Easy to teach, tough to do. Amen. The Bible says clearly in 1 Corinthians 3:17, if anyone destroys or defiles the temple of God, which is your body, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we have a responsibility to take care of our temple in every respect. In every respect, in Jesus' name. So Lord, I ask you to give us all grace. Because this is a tough issue for all of us. Because we grew up with Mama giving us chocolate cake when we were not feeling good. And suddenly chocolate cake became very important.
Too important.
Yeah, it became medicine. Amen? And I take authority over the eyes. Over the eyes. Put your hands over your eyes. I ask you to repent and forgive your generations for spiritual dolly. Follow with me. Father, I repent and renounce and forgive all previous generations for spiritual idolatry, greed, and lying. For Job said, he who speaks lies to his friends, even the eyes of his children will fail. So we take authority over generational curses over our eyes in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And I ask you to repent for living in the red zone. Psalm 31:9 says, my eye wastes away with grief, which is anger, wrath, provocation, and vexation. Put your hand back on your eyes again. In Jesus' name, we speak healing for the eye, the pupil, the iris, the blood vessels, the nerve muscles and skin around the eyes. In Jesus' name, Lord. And we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And again, we speak to, why don't you all stand with me, if you will. Again, we speak to the immune system to rise up and be as God intended. We break every curse that has come against you and we speak life in Jesus' name. And I release you, saint of the living God, to stop striving. Stop striving and rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord, for He is your salvation. He is your strength. He is your deliverer. He is your healer. He is your restorer. And yea, I say unto you, as the Word says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And in all things give thanks. Let God arise. Yes, and His enemies be scattered. Let God arise. And His enemies be scattered. Take somebody's hand next to you and say, let God arise. And His enemies be scattered. In Jesus' name. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm done, brother. Dismissed.
This is the end. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.